Hey, it's good to be with you all again today. Just wanted to do our midweek study and get really practical about the approaches that people are taking to all the situation going on now and the stay-at-home orders or the extension of the stay-at-home orders and how that affects us. And so in the last couple times we've talked, we've dealt a lot with the fact that we're all wired differently, that we have different giftings, and God has made the wiring and the giftings compatible in each one of us so that your giftings don't go against your wiring. But when we're talking about those giftings, 1 Corinthians 12:7 makes it clear that the giftings were given for each one of us so that we can help each other. It actually says that, so that we can help one another. And I think of the difference between David and his son Solomon today when we're going to talk, and we'll just use him for an example briefly. But think about how they were wired differently from the same lineage, same gene pool even, but a very different wiring. And if you've got kids, you've noticed that already. It's not hard to see. David was not allowed to build the temple for God for one very specific reason. He was accredited by God as having a heart after God. But when he wanted to go and build the temple for God, the Lord said back to him, David, I can't let you do it because you're a man of war. That's 1 Chronicles 28:3. And he says, you're a man who's got blood on your hands. And it's righteous blood because there were battles that needed to be fought. But nonetheless, it was blood on his hands. So he couldn't do that. Now, God made him to be a man of war. He made him for battle because there was still Philistines in the land that had to be cleared out because God's people come in and they're still being oppressed by them. So he had made him to be this man who would come in and liberate the people. This was God's design in David's life, at least a piece of who he was. And so we see that that particular gifting stopped him from doing the building of the temple. Now we come to Solomon, and Solomon was given a very different nature than David by God, who designed him. And he was designed to be one who would receive wisdom, that he could live the whole time during his reign in peace. And that's actually 1 Chronicles 22:9. It says of Solomon, his name shall be Solomon, for I, God, will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. And so he was able to take the materials furnished by David, his father, and actually then build the temple, because they've got different giftings for different times, because we know that too. There's different seasons, a time for war, a time for peace, we're told in the Bible, and these things take place. And who knows when, but God knows when, and he puts the right people in the right place. So the point I'm trying to make here is that they're both godly people. They're both people called by God, made by God, gifted by God. Their personalities put together by God for different reasons, for different times and seasons, although their lives do overlap each other. And I wanted to kind of highlight that neither one of them were wrong in their approach. They just were different. And that brings me to today, and that's why I'm bringing this whole thing up here, is because as followers of Jesus, I kind of think there's three camps, and I'm sure there's more, but I just want to give three in response to how things are going right now. That first camp would be those who feel like we need to get back to life as usual, and they can be from very aggressive to that stance to, making a point and ready to push it a little bit, but not quite as aggressive as maybe others would be. And then we have that other group who would really rather stay under the stay-at-home orders and follow all the rules and stick in those guidelines that are being given us, even if they extend for many months. And then finally, that third group is those groups who are kind of in between. Well, I'm going to speak to the first two groups, realizing that it will cover that in-between gap today, but I hope you'll really hear what I'm going to say here. I want to deal with this first group first, obviously. The ones who feel this need to get back into action, to get moving back again. And I want to talk to you about three different things about your wiring that I hope you will consider. So hear me if you would. And those of you who are not wired like them, I want you to think about them for a minute here because it's important, and then we'll flip to the other. First, I want you to think about how we need to honor the Lord in any approach we have to living in this world. There is a need for us to say, hey, how will this affect my stance in the world, and how does it impact what the Bible tells me as a believer is to be my response? Now, I say this because the Bible tells us in Romans that we are to obey the governing authorities in the land. We're to listen to them. We're to do as the law tells us to do. And that's a really important thing, because when it comes to civil disobedience, there is a place for civil disobedience. But we need to make sure we are in the right place if that is a stance that we're going to take, if we're going to push against a government. And the only time we're ever allowed to do that is when God says, this is my clear commandment, you must do this or must not do this. And then the government tells us the opposite. They go against the word of God. Like if they were to tell us that we couldn't preach online, couldn't preach anywhere, couldn't share the gospel, we would have to, like Daniel did, where he goes into his room and he prays, even though he was told not to pray. Or if you were told to denounce your faith, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they said, we're not going to do that, then we would have to be compelled for civil disobedience. That hasn't happened yet. We haven't been told that we can't preach. We've been told that we can't congregate, and there's some laws in the land that are being broken in that way, but then you have to do a balance thing. Are they reasonable in light of what's going on in the world right now that we should do that? This group of people who are wired this way to get back to it by God might be pushing that. Now, here's the complication when it does come to the civil disobedience, and it's that we have different governing authorities telling us different things, and even they're infighting amongst themselves. You know, is it all right to tell the church not to congregate or to congregate? And right now, those who are kind of pushing that the churches can't come together, they can't meet, they seem to be losing ground on the federal side, but on the state side, they're kind of standing their ground. So again, this is where the complication comes in. And what I want to make sure that we understand is it's not civil disobedience in this nation to exercise free speech. And so those of you who are not in the camp of the people that I'm talking to now, those who are feeling the call to get back out and get into action, they're not being civil disobedient in exercising free speech. But here's the thing. We need to make sure that the way that we're using free speech honors the Lord. It's not creating a problem. It's not destroying a witness. And that's what's really important. Now you can go back to Daniel. Now I want you to go back and see who Daniel was. I love the whole book of Daniel for that very reason. They're in captivity. There are difficulties going on. And yet the way they approach even the leaders who are in opposition to them is done so skillfully, so wonderfully, that it actually increases their testimony even when they're in disagreement. And I think that's super important for us. And we can even watch Jesus' example. You can go back to the Gospels and see how he deals with that. And I encourage you to do that, because we've got to honor the Lord in the way that you would maybe push to go out and start exercising free speech, getting back engaged in culture. We don't want to destroy things that we're trying to regain. The second is we need to count the cost. And again, the testimony of the church is at stake here in the way that we approach moving back into day-to-day life and congregating and getting back to work and doing all those things. And we have to think about that. So the way we exercise the freedom of speech is going to be big. It cannot be done in a way which is a reproach to the very nature of God. Make sure we understand that. And I want to put a plug in here for Sunday's teaching, because Sunday, when we're in 2 Corinthians 10, we're going to deal with the real battle that takes place. There is a spiritual battle that is always in front of, before, bigger than, the catalyst to every physical battle that we take. And I say physical not meaning going to blows, but I mean those things that we might do in the flesh or in our nature. The bigger battle is the spiritual battle. And so we need to make sure that when we're engaging in this battle that might be for some a real battle to get back into the culture, to get the churches back into play, to get people back into work, to do the business as usual, that again, we're thinking about that, you know, we don't want to tarnish the reputation of the Lord and lose even if we win. And what I mean by that is we can lose spiritually in the spiritual battle, winning the ground that we want in the flesh. And that's really important. And we have to think about the fact that there could be real costs as you go out and you engage back in life again. Do count the cost or the potential costs, because they are there. They're always there. Every time we're living and interacting, there's always a potential for loss or for cost, and do count that. And then finally, and this is the one I really hope you'll pay attention to. I think it's really important. Don't forget the rear flank. I'm going to use an example that comes from Deuteronomy 25, 17 through 18. And it says the children of Israel are getting out of the Egyptian captivity. They're heading back home to the land that the Lord's going to give them to establish a nation. And here's the verses for you. It says, remember that what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear, when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God. So here's what I'm trying to get to on this. For those who are more designed by God to be those who get back out in culture, who engage, who take on battles, and hopefully do it in God's way because it's the only way that it's acceptable, remember all those who are not wired like you, those who are more vulnerable, those who feel more compelled to be in the stay-at-home order, those who have health conditions, those who are fatigued mentally and don't do well with conflict because God didn't wire them that way. Maybe they are the peacekeepers of everybody. Remember that as you charge forward, sometimes charging forward means forgetting who's not keeping up. And our enemy is despicable. He always comes after the weak and the vulnerable, those left to defend themselves. So I want to remind you that if you're one who charges forward, you've also been given the task of defending, being the sheepdog for those who aren't wired like you. That's why God gave you the wiring you have. So if you take everything that you've been given and you rush out in front, but you leave the rear flanks, those who are tired and weary and broken down and just simply wired differently than you are, then it's not honoring to God. And that might be some of the biggest challenge for those who have that push in them to go forward, is to remember those who are not wired like you and to be a defender of them, which God designed you for. That's exactly why that gifting is in you, because remember, as we talked about in the very beginning, all of our giftings, as we're told in 1 Corinthians, is that it's for each other. It's so that we can help each other. Think about how your gifting has been designed for the body of believers and for others, maybe who don't even know the Lord, to help them. So now I'm going to go to that other group of people, and this is going to be much shorter. For those who want to stay home and do the stay-at-home order, you feel compelled because of the way God wired you to do that. And I want to give you just two things to consider as you're waiting for that order to be lifted. The first one is that those whom God sends to keep people liberated and what it costs them really are at a place where it costs them. And you can misunderstand those people. And hopefully they're doing it God's way, because if not, we got tension that we can't navigate. I mean, I don't know how to say that any better than that right now at this moment, but hopefully they're doing it God's way. But you need to remember who they are, because there is a cost to those individuals in warfare, to go into spiritual warfare, to go into places and to kind of push to open that up too. And, you know, those can be physiological, those can be psychological, those ramifications do exist. And I just want you to think about that. I've watched people kind of vilify law enforcement over the years simply because their job requires them to encounter difficulty over and over again. And if you watch somebody who is a frontliner, you're going to find that there are just times where they're pressed into action or to make decisions or to have to do things that other people who are not wired like them can't understand. I think the taser is a great example. The taser is probably one of the single greatest law enforcement tools ever created, because prior to that, when somebody came out with a knife, a pipe, anything to battle you, or because they were disoriented, a law enforcement officer had to protect themselves. and it was usually lethal. The taser was non-lethal. But if you see somebody get tasered, you know, grandma comes out with a knife and she's lost it because her medications are off and they taser, it's never it looking good. It's a bad look. And you can make the officer look terrible, yet he saved their person's life and there was not a violent altercation. Sometimes we can do that if we're the peacekeeper and we look at those who were made to be the sheepdog and we say, oh my gosh, why are they so aggressive? Why are they always out there? Why are they pushing? Because we don't understand what it costs them to actually be the one who defends us. And sometimes we can get really irritated. We hear them bark and because they're sheepdogs and we go, oh my gosh, why are they barking? And we don't understand their nature. They're not biting, they're barking. They're saying, look, there's danger. We need to defend this territory. We want to watch out for you. And so don't get offended when the sheepdog bark because they were made by God to bark. And when you need them, you're so grateful. Quite often because they bark, the danger doesn't come close. But you still hear the bark and get irritated. Remember, pray for them. Be gentle with them. Respect the wiring that God gave them, much like David was given the wiring to be the man of war. Respect it, appreciate it. It's different than you, but it's not wrong. And the next part is that I want you to think about how you redeem the time while you're in the stay-at-home order. Because being a person of peace is not the same as being a pacifist. A pacifist says, I'm not going to engage, I'm not going to be involved, I don't care what's going on, it doesn't affect me, I'm going to leave it alone. And we are not called to be spiritual pacifists. We realize that there's challenges going on. And again, spiritual battles. The battles that are being fought are spiritual. So even if you're not the one who's going to go out and push the stay-at-home order, or, you know, should churches get back together, can we meet face-to-face? You need to be somebody who's in the fight. We've all been called to be in the fight. Think about that when we're in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And we're talking to about the spiritual battles we're in and the way we are to arm ourselves, the way we're to put on the spiritual armament in order to be engaged. That's not a conversation to some. That's a conversation to all the church, to you and me and everybody in all their wiring. And so we need to get to that point where we realize there is a spiritual battle going on, and if you're not the front line in person, you need to be the front line in prayer. We're called to be those people of prayer, regardless of the gifting. And so I just want to say to you again, remember to pray for those and to pray for them by name, governmental leaders, church leaders, individuals in your church family, other believers who are wired differently than you, maybe the sheepdog. Pray for them that they would have wisdom, that they would respond according to God's word, that they would be good in their testimony because of the way they interact with people. You get the idea. Be people of prayer. And I want to kind of close this out by saying, and this Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. And if you don't know that already, now you do know. And I hope you will be in prayer, not just on Thursday, but maybe particularly on Thursday, because really, again, the battles that we're facing are so much bigger than we often see. I was thinking about even this basic piece here. COVID-19, the thing that has really created a lot of tension that is now beginning to unfold, has killed 251,000 people as of yesterday. That's my stats. But I looked just to see what abortion had done in the same period of time since January 1st. And we're at over 14.5 million abortions since January 1st worldwide. That's 58 times more than the people who have died in COVID-19. Yet the world has not stood still for that. And that's not an uncontrolled virus. It's a choice taking place in the nation. And I personally hope on the National Day of Prayer that everybody would pray that that would stop the world from moving. That would stop people from going forward until something happens to put an end to this. I mean, that's terrible stuff. That's where those people who are the stay-at-home people, maybe you are called more to be the prayer warrior. And God's called maybe some others to be those who are those of action, also of prayer, but to put action. I just hope that after this message today, maybe this has done something to cause everybody just to think to respect each other and our giftings, to to make sure however we're using them to glorify God and to realize we're not all wired the same. So be patient for or with those who are not wired like you. Understand them. Understand that God has made us uniquely gifted that we could all help one another in the body of Christ. Hope you have a great week. Hope you do spend some time set apart for the National Day of Prayer. And I hope we can get together face to face sooner than later. We'll see you then.